good, thanks. How are you today?
I'm all right, thank you. Can you say hi?
Hello.
Hello. Is that Rachel?
It is, yes, I'm Rachel. This is my nephew, Troy.
Oh, good to meet you.
Nice, likewise, likewise. This is such a cute little shop.
Thank you.
I just like how light it is and clear and it's airy, but it's also quite cozy and inviting as well. I really like the vibe you've got going in here. It's actually quite chill and I really like that.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we kind of work to sort of keep that kind of nice relaxed vibe going.
Perfect.
Did you like the window display?
Oh man, listen, that's what drew me in. Like, I was kind of recommended to come here and pay a visit anyway, but I'm loving the big chunky sheet display made of different types of wool and pom-poms. I think that's really, really cool.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, I made all those pom-poms myself.
Oh gosh, you got time. Wow. There are loads there. Wow.
I had a vision and I had to see this vision.
Okay,
through.
I get that.
Why have you popped to the shop today?
A couple of my friends have been here previously. I don't even know if you remember them. Corinne, Maxine and Marie. I think they've each been on separate occasions. And, you know, we've been talking. This is, oh, you've got to come to this wild yarn shop because it's like the yarn shop to end all yarn shops. Like, it's really cool. So I said, you know what? I've got a free afternoon. Let's mosey on down and see what you've got on offer. So I'm here today. I'm going to have a browse and see what you've got.
I like the wool. And the yarn and the knitting needles.
Oh, you like those?
Crochet needles and all the scissors.
Oh, thanks, Troy. Yeah, I've got quite a lot of yarn in.
I see. Do you do a lot of undyed yarns? I know other yarn shops that I've been to don't really sell undyed yarn.
We do have a selection of Shetlands in.
Ooh, okay. Tell me a bit more about those. I'm not familiar with Shetland.
So as the name might suggest, Shetland, Shetland wool from the Isle of Shetland.
Okay.
But yeah, it's one of the kind of, there's a real culture in with Shetland wool of kind of supplying undyed yarns, and you get them in all different natural shades. So you've got like your natural browns there, you've got your blacks, although be aware they may not necessarily be true blacks, and then kind of a whole bunch of earth tones in between. I've never seen like a pure white. I would suggest that they wouldn't necessarily exist, but you can kind of see here there's a lovely earthy natural white, and it's getting sort of progressively, I don't want to say darker necessarily, but there's like different,
I know what you mean,
shades.
It's quite warm, isn't it? It kind of, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
really nice.
Thank you. Is that something you're interested in, kind of undyed?
Yeah, I'm kind of into this whole yarn dyeing thing, so I'm still trying to work out what my staple bases are going to be, whether I want that to be 100% merino, or do I want to have different types like such as Shetland, or, and I've worked with Blueface Leicester quite a bit. I think I've got some Wensleydale at home that I'm going to start experimenting with at some point, but I'm always on the lookout to try something new.
Yeah, maybe work out what your customer base, what they like knitting.
Okay. That's a good shout.
Yeah, and then sort of reverse engineer it from there. Okay. If they're kind of, you know, if they like knitting big sort of outerwear cardigans and jackets and stuff, you may want to kind of go more down the Shetlandy, even Lopi kind of route.
Okay, more hard-wearing kind of yarns, aren't they?
Yeah, sort of like the proper, you know, you can imagine the sheep sort of standing on the edge of
yeah,
the cliff.
Yeah, not being
wind
phased.
Coming
not being phased
yeah.
at all.
Yep. Wind coming in at the side.
Cool.
Or if your base is kind of a little bit more sort of maybe suburban or even urban, do you know what I mean? If they're kind of more interested in knitting indoor clothes,
okay,
then
That sounds like a plan. And thanks for the advice.
Oh yeah, not at all.
So what other kind of stuff do you have on offer then in this wild yarn shop?
We've got our merinos here, 100% merinos, and we've got them in a single ply. Have a little squish of that.
Oh yeah, that's good. That actually feels really nice. Feel how soft that is, Troy.
Well, it feels squishy like jelly.
Like squishy like jelly?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd want jelly on your yarn, would you?
Yeah, but it feels squishy like jelly.
Okay, I see where you're going. Okay, I get you.
To be fair, like the single ply merino does have a good squish to it.
Definitely. Does this come in chunky weight as well?
Yes, there is a chunkier weight. So this particular one perfect for your 4 mil or 4.5 mil even, I reckon you could go up to, but the chunky weight, it's not a huge difference, but it's still chunky. It's the 6 mil or 6.5. Okay. Have gone up to 7 on that one as well, and it's a nice fabric in the 7s. Okay,
cool.
It's a little bit airier because, like, you know, you see it's like single ply, and like it's lovely, but the thing is, it can very much sometimes, if with the 7 ply, it kind of introduces a bit more, a few more sort of holes. Yeah. It's a little bit looser.
Yeah, I see what you mean, yeah.
So it's a bit more breathable.
Okay. What do you think, Troy? What's caught your eye?
I like the curtains.
You like the curtains? What do you like about them?
I like how that you can see through them.
Oh, okay.
How you can see through the curtains. I think that looks cool.
Okay, very nice.
You like the knitted curtains?
Yeah.
Do you like the colours of them?
Yeah, I like the grey.
You like the grey?
Yeah.
That's not normally a colour that you like. You normally like red or blue, don't you?
I like the grey. It looks like the ones that I have in my bedroom at home.
Oh, okay, okay.
Oh. So has anything caught your eye?
I've literally just caught... Is that a basket of roving yarn over there in that corner?
Yes, it is.
See, I've always wondered, like, what I could actually use that for. Like, what do most people buy that for? Because I'm like, Like I said, I'm an experimenter, so for me, I'd sort of pick it up and be like, okay, I've got this big bag of fluff, like, what should I do with it? So I've messed around with weaving before. I'm not great at it. But it's kind of something I have dabbled with, only very slightly though.
Well, you can use it for spinning if you want to sort of experiment. You've said that you do undyed yarn. Sorry, not undyed yarns. You say that you're a yarn dyer. So you might want to sort of spin as well.
Ooh.
You can also use it for felting.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've used this stuff in particular quite a lot for needle felting, but I've also seen people using it for wet felting
as well. Oh, wow, okay. That's a whole different ministry that I'm used to. Wow, okay. And spinning, wow, that's just a level of magicalness. That's wizardry that's just, like, totally mind-blowing.
Have you ever given it a go yourself?
Never. I'd probably end up with some tangled web and somehow manage to tie myself into the loom, into the spinning wheel or something.
You can start with the hand spinning first.
Okay, like a little, are they Tunisian spindles? Is that what they're called?
I don't know what they're called.
A drop spindle, isn't it?
Yes, oh, okay. That's what it is.
I've never tried, okay. This is it. See, this is another thing that Sophie's trying to get me into at this shop now. Spinning. Is that a good idea?
I like the thing where you have to spin the yarn.
Oh, you like that? That
looks cool.
Do you think that's cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, is that the wheel?
It looks like, I forgot what it's called. It looks like, you know, the hamster wheel.
Oh, it looks like a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
That's, I get, yeah, okay.
So Troy would like to give spinning a go on a wheel.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you spin, what colour yarn would you spin? And what would you make with it eventually?
I'd probably make a blanket.
You make a blanket?
Yeah.
For me?
No.
Mean. Okay, Troy wants to give spinning. I have to look into that. Do you do any sort of classes here?
Yes, if you have a look at the
board,
we've got a list of all of our classes there, and some of them you can sign up for right here, but we've also got other people as well. You can take their number and give them a ring or a text. So
okay, there's a sock knitting one. I might have to get into that. I'm not the greatest knitter. I call myself a beginner knitter. I have this thing about wanting to knit a pair of socks. I've crocheted a couple of pairs of socks, but I want to knit a pair of socks. So I might have to take this maker up on here and sign up for this class, definitely.
Yeah, you can sign up at the counter for
I will
that
do that. Please don't let me forget before I leave.
I won't.
Cool. So what else have we got on offer then? God, there's so much to see. Wow.
So, is there any particular project you're thinking about?
Well, I've dyed some yarn recently. I had some sort of leftover skeins. So I've dyed some yarn for me, a purely selfish project. And I want to knit myself a sweater. I don't know what sort. I just want it to be simple and uncomplicated. Something that I can mindlessly get into. And I don't mind if it's going to take forever. It'll be like a nice little slow burner project.
Ooh. Michelle Gregory at the Loveliest Yarn Company has just released a sweater pattern called Simply the Simplest Sweater. Oh, you know sweater.
What? That sounds like it is right up my street.
So, yeah, if you go over to the Loveliest Yarn Company.
Write that down, Loveliest Yarn Company. You said Michelle Gregory. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm always like talking because I know Michelle personally. I'm always like, oh yeah, Michelle's got this because she does. But genuinely though, it does look like a really, really simple pattern because that's what she specializes in, kind of beginner knitting patterns. That's really good
to
know.
I'll have to look into that. I will. Thank you so much for that. You've been really helpful.
Oh, no problem.
I can't. I am actually drawn to the patterns. Gosh, these are so good.
Oh, yes. They're just in the yarn.
So many pattern books. Oh, wow. Okay. This is nice. I like this shawl, but it looks very complicated. Okay. Maybe next time I'll come back.
Yes, it is in 4-ply, that particular shawl. But it is lovely. Yeah, it's a West Knits one. So
yeah, 4-ply used to scare me. It doesn't anymore. But West Knits are some amazingly extravagant shawls. They are like mind-blowingly amazing. Don't think I'm quite up to that level of knitting just yet. But one day.
See, for me, it's a patience thing. Like, it's one of those things I'm like, I could do it, but I don't. I don't have patience.
Staying power.
Well, it's more as well because I find it very difficult to read patterns. I've got into like the zone of kind of doing my own thing a lot. For me, I just get a bit aggy when I'm sort of spending a lot of time doing somebody else's pattern because it doesn't feel truly.
Would you ever design?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that?
I have, yes. I do have a jumper pattern. But the thing I always feel really awkward about is the whole test knitting thing. I wouldn't like to be in a position where I ask somebody else to do a test knit for me because that to me feels like a big favor. Yeah. I would find it very difficult. So, but what I've kind of done, and it's a bit of a concern, is I've sort of released it on my website as kind of almost like a beta test pattern. So like if somebody wants to knit it give me feedback, then great. Yeah, so far I'm the only person who's knitted it.
Let me get my knitting skills up then and I'll come back to you.
Well, if you did want to do it, I wouldn't just sort of leave you in the woods. You could just contact me if you get stuck on anything.
But like I said, I'm not the greatest knitter. I'm actually a crocheter, first off. That's what I love. I'm a crocheter.
How long have you been crocheting for?
I'm going to say probably somewhere in between 6 or more years now. Don't ask me how good I am now because I wouldn't be able to tell you. I have dropped many a stitch in my time.
Oh, to be honest, though, all of that is all relative. It's all relative. We all, because things like crochet and knitting, they're so wide. You'll have people who are like really, really good at doing one thing or doing it one way. Like with me, I'm quite proficient with like shaping things. But then lace work, I'm
not
pretty.
So great.
No, I can do it. And it's not that I choose not to. It's just like there's some bits of it where I'm just like, oh no, oh dear.
I'm like that sometimes. I have a thing for shawls. And I think it's sort of like once I found, like I crocheted one shawl and I was like, that's it. I am the shawl queen. That is all I'm going to crochet for the rest of my life. So I've made a few hats. I'm working on the hats. I'm slowly but surely finding my feet with crocheting hats. Blankets, never really attempted. I think I'd get bored too quickly. I'm also, it doesn't, as far as it doesn't help. I have a case of whippitis. Like I like to have many on the go. I've got like at least 6 different projects on the go and I'll jump from one to the next to this one to that one. So if I get bored of that, I'll just put it in a bag, leave it in the corner for a bit, jump onto this one. Oh, that's a really nice pattern. Let's give this one a go instead. Getting bored easily is a blessing and a curse sometimes.
I like the yarn den.
You like the yarn den?
Yeah, I like how it's got all different coloured yarn with different patterns with all the squares and circles and pentagons with all the shapes on them. And the colours on them.
Oh, what's your favourite colour in there?
I kind of like the green.
You like green?
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you, Troy. What's your? There's a load of greens here. What's your favourite green?
Turquoise green.
Turquoise green.
Oh, you like the turquoise green?
See, I like that Kelly green, that grass green.
Like that grass green.
Yeah, grass green is really nice.
Yeah, this is the collection for all the colour work. Mm.
Like
so
that
it's all
grass
four
green
ply.
On the window.
Yeah, like that grass green.
Not the window on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see there's like the colours, but then there's all different shades of the same
like
colour.
It's just a dream. Like literally, I turn around and my eye catches something and it's like, oh, that's nice. I must go and have a browse over there. I could literally stay here like all day.
Oh, well, if you're interested in staying here all day, you must be ready for a nice cup of tea.
Do you want a drink? Do you fancy a drink? Hot drink? What would you like?
Tea.
Cup of tea for Troy. And do you have any herbal teas?
We do. We've got like a whole den here full of patterns and leaflets and back copies of magazines. You can just pop yourself on the sofa then. I'll get the teas on.
I will never leave.
We've got some Pooka teas, got some tea pigs. We've got some Joe's Tea Company in.
Highly recommend that. Either a mint tea or ginger.
Ooh, well, I've got the ginger. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, then great. And then was it just
a normal tea? Got some Earl Grey. Yes, please, Earl Grey.
Oh, great.
I like the red cup.
You like the red mug, the red cup?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll grab that down for you then.
You're getting spoiled here, you are today.
Do you want any biscuits or anything?
You're turning down biscuits. I won't say no, thank you.
Here we go. There's some shortbread here, which I made yesterday, but I've also got a bit of cake. Ooh, although the cake's a couple days old.
You don't want any cake? I'll have the cake as well, please. I'm not shy.
Oh, fair enough. It's a chai tea flavoured cake as well.
Let's have some of that.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, that's really nice. That's lovely.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you want some cake now? You want to try some? Go on then.
Oh, I'll get you your own little slice.
This is such a nice place. You can just come and sit and look at patterns and...
The cake tastes nice.
Do you have...
thank you. It is homemade, yeah.
You're going to get the recipe and bake me one?
No.
No love at all. Oh, my gosh. Dear me. So do you have, like, knit nights? Like, we can just come and knit and natter? I said when I came in, it's like a really chill spot. So, like, this little pattern den, it's like its own little nook by itself. So you can come in and people can be browsing and you can just come in here and find a pattern and sit and knit maybe or sit and crochet maybe.
Yes, we do. Every other Thursday, we have our knit night. It starts about 6 or 7.
Okay. Is that also to, like, all crafts, not just knitting or anything like that?
I'm free and easy when it comes to crafts. As long as you can sort of safely do it in this space, then yeah, you're welcome to do it. So yeah, no metal work, I'm afraid.
Oh, definitely. I might have to invite a few people around for that, for definite.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Thank you. It's very rare that you get a yarn shop that is so comforting and inviting. So this is spot on.
Thank you. Yeah, that means a lot to me. It's very important to me that this yarn shop feels like
definitely.
A space for everybody.
That, I'll be back for sure.
So did we want to have a quick look at the patterns? Because I was telling you about the jumper pattern out there. So here's the leaflet.
Brilliant, thanks for that.
And if you've any questions about it, to be honest with you, I just pick it up. It's a pretty simple jumper pattern.
I'll give it a go. If I get stuck, I'll be back, definitely.
I'm just trying to think what other jumper... There's Tin Can Knits as well, I hear, does a good jumper pattern.
That's nice. See, I crochet. I'm all right with varying stitches and stuff like that. When it comes to knitting, I've only ever done the basic knit stitch, purl stitch and garter stitch. So, I mean, brioche, that's a whole different world for me that I'm not ready to venture into right now. So, like, something simple that I can ease my way into gently, that's what I'm looking for in a minute. And I think this couple of patterns that you've just let me know about, I think I'm gonna go with these two for sure.
I've not tried brioche myself yet. I've kind of given it a little go, like I've done a couple of like practice bits, but it's not too bad. It's sort of, it's one of those things that kind of looks
complicated than it really
more...
is. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it's it's just, it's sort of like, it's a bit yarn management-y, like, colour work, I guess. I mean, that's it is a kind of colour work.
As well, colour work. Oh my God.
Well, colour work is, it depends on the kind. So there's a couple types. So I've done intarsia and colour strand work. And it's interesting because they're both unscary and massively scary in different ways. So with strand work, it seems simple enough because you're just kind of continuing in the same, well, the way I do it, you sort of continue in the same direction, but then there's a chance that you might make the thing too tight and then you're just like, no. And then intarsia is, to me, feels a little easier, but then at the same time, it's kind of like, I've just got all these loose bits hanging.
Which do you prefer? You prefer stranded collar?
It depends on my mood. Like, I'm doing a pair of socks. At the moment, it's just using intarsia, but there could be a stage, depending on how they pan out, that I may switch to colour work or do, like, a version of, like, extended intarsia. I might try and mix the two techniques and see what happens. There's three different shades of blue, but they're socks. So it's kind of like, I need them to be able to fit the recipient's foot. And then I'm just looking at the other jumper. Oh, there's a couple of nice jumpers in the autumn winter, or is it just the winter? Pom-pom mag.
You sell copies of pom-pom here, actually.
Yes. We have the little back catalogue here. I had to
grab a couple of copies of those, actually. They look very
great. It's a great
sleek,
magazine.
Very slick. I had a look through a couple of people's copies when I've been visiting homes and stuff like that. But they are very nice. Grab a couple of those. What about sort of notions, accessories and stuff? Do you do anything like that?
Yes, we do. So we've got the stitch markers. Yeah. Oh, you're just lucky. I've just moved the shelves for the accessories over into the pattern corner because, they all used to be on the counter, but I've just got so many now that it was getting a bit, that's where I do my accounts. So I was getting a bit like, while trying to do my accounts, just like the clattering of stitch markers. And there was the unfortunate incident of the fall of the stitch marker cone. The great fall and clatter of 2020. Wow. So nice. I've moved them. Okay. I've moved them over here.
That's a nice little collect. Wow. Okay. I am support for Joyce. Oh.
Yes. Thank you. So you've got the little seahorse and the jellyfish. But are there any others which have caught your eye?
I'll take the elephant one. And also the, I like the pineapple one. That one there is cute. And you know what? I'll take a football one for the young man here.
Well, yeah, if he's getting into spinning.
Take a football stitch marker.
I like the football one.
You like the football one? I thought you might. Okay, I knew you would. I like these. I like these scissors as well. So I have a pair of snips, but I don't actually have a pair of scissors. Do I actually need both? I don't know, but I feel like I should. And then there's the whole, like, because I've got a Notions pouch that I keep with me in the, I'll keep it in a project bag that I'm using. But then if I've got more than one, do I need more than one Notions pouch, or is one just enough? Like, so many questions.
That depends on how many Notions you
have. I mean, I usually keep a stash of stitch markers, needles for, like, weaving in and stuff like that, a pair of snips, a little notebook, a pen. That actually sounds like a Notions backpack, not a pouch. But I just like to be prepared for
nothing wrong
eventuality, just in case. A tape measure has got to be in there as well. A stitch counter, that's always useful.
That's so organized. Like, I'll be honest with you, I have a Notions bag. Yeah, but like my stuff is literally, because I've got one of those minds, so I'll be like all my stuff is all over the place, but I'll know. So it's like, I've got my tape measure on the coffee table.
Exactly where it is when you need it.
Yeah, I've got one darning needle on the, but it drives my husband mad. So he'll move stuff and tidy things away.
And you go to that place where you've left it and he's tidied it away somewhere and hasn't told you where it is.
Yeah, but I can kind of understand where he's coming from, though, because he's just got, when it comes to clutter, he's got a different perception of it. Sort of whereas I'm a bit like, well, as long as it's not dirty, it's fine where it is. He's a bit more, I want stuff away.
You find a happy medium.
Which we do. Some of my stuff is out, some of it's away. I do find, though, as I'm getting older, I do need to be a little bit more, like, I am losing the ability slightly of remembering where I put things.
This is literally why I like to keep probably everything but the kitchen sink with me. I'm prepared for every eventuality.
Mm. See, I'm one. The funny thing about me is if I put stuff away, and this happens to me a lot, I'll, like, put things away. And
I did that the other day.
Yeah.
I found this thing that I was looking for. Like, I needed this particular thing, and I found two. So I thought, oh, yes, now I found them. Let me put them there so that I know when I need them that I've got them in that place. Could I remember where I had put them? Nope, took me 2 days.
It's like when you have to find a butterfly for your earring.
Yeah, and I still can't find it.
We're searching for it last night.
But yes, this stitch marker, this whole accessory section is just, yeah. But I'm going to take the elephant one, the pineapple one, and the football one. And you know what? I think I'm going to go for these scissors because they are cute.
I like the scissors too.
Which one should I have? Red ones, blue ones, or yellow ones?
Get the yellow ones.
Yellow ones. Perfect. I think that is done.
Thank you. How are you getting on with your tea? Do you fancy another one?
Or do you want more cake?
You want more cake.
I'm not going to have more cake, but if you want more cake, you're not going to have more cake. Okay. You're saving your belly for lunch, aren't you?
Yeah.
I thought so. You know what? I think I'm going to go for some of that Shetland that you mentioned when I first came in. What weights have you got in that? Because I might take a few and just have a little play around with them in the dye pot.
Well, I've got the Jameson's Shetland in.
The undyed?
Yes, I've got the undyed, but I've also got some of the dyed in as well.
Okay. So, tell you what I'll do then. If Troy wants to pick two colours of the dyed ones, and then I can pick two skeins of undyed and I can dye them to go with. Does that sound like a plan?
Maybe.
Okay, so what colours are you gonna, what colours have we got available in these dyed ones then?
Rainbow
colours.
You want really the rainbow?
Setting me a challenge, aren't you, kid?
Yeah.
Okay then.
Remember, now you're the hold and now it's more challenging.
Oh, thanks. Okay, so we're going to go for a rainbow, which means means I could do anything, actually, because I've got, like, all the colours to choose from, so that's not too bad.
And then we've got the double knit, but the Jameson's double knit, it's a funny one. You'll need to experiment with your needles on that one. But it's really good for colour work because it's quite grippy. But it's definitely, the fabric that you'll have from it is definitely, have it right next to your skin. It can be a little bit harsh on the skin.
So maybe an outer garment then rather than,
Or like a jumper to layer.
That's an idea. Okay, cool. I think we've come up with a plan.
But then we've also got the Spindrift in as well, and that's the 2-ply. And that'll knit on 3.25mm needles or thereabouts.
I'll have to work up the courage for that, okay.
And then we got the double knitting here.
That's nice.
And that's 3.75 or 4.
Yeah, I'll take a couple of those. Those are perfect.
Yeah, it's maybe lovely. The colours you get from it are absolutely beautiful.
It's cool how the light shine on the yarn.
He makes it see all the shiny bits.
Yeah, it makes it look like the yarn is on the roof.
So you've seen my yarn on the roof.
Well spotted.
The shadows.
Yeah, I'm glad you spotted that.
Is.
Yeah, it's a little bit arty, that one. But that's kind of where cashmere yarns are. I thought they were kind of soft and fluffy, and I thought it'd be really nice to just kind of pop them on a model of a roof.
Troy,
yeah.
Would you like to learn to knit or to crochet?
No.
Just to spin?
Yeah.
Okay. What about if you had classes and I could... No, if there was like spinning classes and I could bring you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he's so funny. It's lovely. So you're making yourself a sweater, the Jameson. If you're using that for, is it the
that'll be the one.
The simplest sweater jumper pattern. Yeah, for that one, if you sort of knit it a size or so too big, that would make like a really nice kind of outerwear.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, you know the sort of thing you sort of chuck on over your second jumper when it's really cold? Make yourself a matching hat. And it's funny because wool, it's not waterproof, but like some wools, they've got like a mild, like a really mild water resistance. Yeah, some are quite hydrophobic,
aren't they?
Yeah, so if it's snowing and the like, that'll be a nice thing to have on.
Outside at the snow from inside.
And then you're making your little colourwork jumper. Am I making you a jumper?
Yeah. Oh, okay then. Apparently I am making him a jumper.
Oh, sorry. Have I just dropped you in it there?
No, he's been good. He's good. I'll make him a colourwork jumper. I will try my hand.
I mean, if there's a child in your life, it's a good opportunity to experiment because they're small. And if it goes well, great. You've learnt new skills. And if it goes terribly, it's still hilarious watching them pretend to like it. There's been times where I've knitted something for people, and even though it's terrible, they
That is
absolutely
true.
love it just because something's been made for
Always
them.
a winner. I think it's the first ever Tunisian crochet project that I'd ever made, and it was the Ada shawl by Tony at TL Yarn Crafts. And I bought some really fancy yarn from We Are Knitters. I got the pattern, got myself some Tunisian crochet hooks, and went for it. And it is probably my most prized possession. I absolutely love it. It's just big, thick, chunky, and it's just so cool. It's like a sandy brown color with like a terracotta orange, and it's just perfect. It's so simple and it's perfect. As you can see, I like simple. I don't like complications or faff, and it's just perfect, and I absolutely love it. And it always draws compliments whenever I wear it. A few people have tried to steal it. I am prepared to fight for it.
Ada Shawl by TL Yarn Crafts.
Yeah.
That sounds beautiful. I love this image as well. The second you said, like, I will fight people for it.
Absolutely love it. What else have I made that I absolutely love? I think I like most things that I love apart from the ones that I have to like, I'm a serial frogger. I'm known for not reading a pattern, jump straight in, or I read like the first few rows and then get to a point where I have to end up frogging it. I'll frog something at least 4 times before I actually get going and do things properly. I was really proud when I crocheted my first pair of socks. Really, really proud of myself. It took me a hot minute to do it. They look like socks, but probably not as the designer intended them to look. But they fit me. They are the most perfect house socks. I love them. I wear them all the time in the house. They are perfect. I knitted a jumper once. I think it's probably one of the first things that I ever made. A friend of mine was moving to Illinois and she asked me to knit her a jumper. I think it was probably the very first time I'd picked up needles since I was a child. And I knitted this chunky jumper. I think I knitted it on 12 mil needles. It was knitting sections. So I did the front, the back and the 2 arms and I had to seam them together. Oh my God. I don't think I'll ever make a jumper in that way again. I think knitting in the round, I think, is the way forward, definitely.
Yeah, that is fair enough.
Just crocheting scarves because they have a straight line and you can't go wrong with that. And I was like, yeah, I'll knit you a jumper. And I was like, why have I decided to do this? Like, what am I doing? And it actually came out okay. It was massive. It was massive, don't get me wrong, but she still has the jumper. She still wears it. It's a great winter warmer, so I'm happy to have made her very happy.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, especially making something like a jumper for someone else.
Yeah, definitely,
I maintain
because
that
you
is
put
an act of love.
So much time and effort and love and probably some cursing as well into it. It's like you say, it's an act of love. It comes from a place of love. So to hand make something for somebody, I think, is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, and quick. Especially like with this crochet, because it's not, you know, it's not an evening.
Definitely.
It's a long, often protracted process.
It's just a phone.
Yeah.
Oh, we just picked up a phone.
Oh, what's that, Troy?
Sorry, there you go.
Okay. Why did you pick up the needles?
I came upon some funny shaped hooks that I had no idea what they were for. It was not long after my dad's stepmom passed away. We were like clearing our house and she used to sew. And my grandma on my mom's side, she's always sewed. I think it's just in my blood to just make things and create and imagine things that I could do with my hands sort of thing. So I came across these funny little hooks and I was like, okay, I'm gonna learn what you do with these things. At the time, there was an advert on the TV for a crochet magazine. So I said, you know, I'm gonna get into that. I'm going to have some of that. Decided to commit myself to 120 issues of this magazine. Taught myself to crochet. Knitting, I'd always known how to knit. My grandma taught me when I was about 8 or 9, but I'd never ever taken it seriously other than just messing around when I was bored at the house. I was like, you know what, I've got these knitting needles as well, just give it a go. And that's how it started. And then all hell broke loose. And I've been doing this for a few years now and I really enjoy it.
It's kind of nice as well that you sort of just, yeah. I mean, your grandma taught you.
And it's weird, it's one of those things that sort of never, ever, ever, bearing in mind she taught me when I was like 8 or 9 and I'm like 41, so it's never gone away. It's like muscle memory in a weird sense. I've just always known how to do it, and I just haven't used it for X years. And it's like, bing, okay, I can knit. Okay, then.
Yeah, same. Although, mind you, I've been knitting pretty solidly since I was like 15 now, but there was like a period between ages five and no, a little bit older than that, maybe ages 10. Because when I went to secondary school, I didn't like the first couple of years, I didn't really knit, and then I sort of picked it up again at 15. I guess there was only like a 5 year period really where I didn't knit. But even then, I'm not like a solid every single day knitter.
Pick it up when
I'm
you
a
want.
I'll do this project, take a
That totally
break.
makes sense. I mean, I used to
Yeah.
be, I'd literally crochet every day. I'd have something that I'm working on every day. Since doing the dyeing thing, I dye mainly at the, because of I work full time, dyeing is done mainly at the weekend. So like during the week, I try, if I'm not writing something down or planning something out for fly dyed,
That's so
then
cool.
I am crocheting something. Like at the minute, I've a hat, someone's asked me to make them a couple. Actually, it's the same person who's asked me to knit them a jumper. They've asked me to crochet a couple of hats for them, so that's going to be interesting. And then once those are out of the way, I'm hoping in the next couple of weeks, months, I'm going to get going on sweater.
Nice.
I'm determined to make myself a proficient knitter.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you'll get
Yeah.
there. I wouldn't compare yourself to everybody else because
Yeah.
everyone has their own thing. Everyone has their own style. And it's something like knitting is something that just develops over years and years and years. Everyone can knit, but it's one of those weird things. Like, I don't really, it's a skill. This is going to sound so pretentious and I'm so sorry for that. But
Yeah.
knitting to me feels like it's more of an adventure. And like, you don't, there's no real, there's not like
Yeah.
a skill in
And see
adventuring.
what happens
It's
along
just
the way.
something you
That
do.
totally makes sense.
So you've got like
Of
your
that,
knit
yeah.
stitch and your purl stitch, and then everything else is a version of that. I don't really, and because of the way I, because I don't really do patterns, like I've got technique books and stuff, and I sort of figure out what I want to do from that,
Yeah.
literally like as if, right, I'm on Knitting Hill. Let's see how we can navigate away. Maybe I'll go through the trees, maybe I won't. We'll see what happens. I don't think
Okay,
of knitting
that
as
makes
getting
sense.
necessarily better. It just gets neater because you can, yeah, but because you can block most of your mistakes out, it's sort of a
That makes
moot
sense.
point, really. I don't
Oh,
think you're a bad knitter
thanks.
at all. I think you're probably a very good knitter, but
We
you
shall
just,
see. Once my sweater is done or halfway, I want to come back and show you.
yeah, absolutely. Please do. Oh, something I forgot to mention earlier, because you're dyeing yarn. Have you heard of the Woolist before? She's got a website, and I believe she's got a book. Let me just check the shelves.
Oh,
Yes, so
cool.
if you go on the Woolist, she does posters with all different sheep breeds. She has a website which is basically all the different kinds of sheep, and
Oh,
she has
cool.
like, they're almost like Mr. Men book. I don't know if she does the Mr. Men books anymore, but she has like little explainers on her website for some of them. Although it's a work in progress, she's got like links of people who are working with the fleece from specific sheep,
Oh,
but she'll
cool.
have like a little bit about their history, their heritage. But then she'll have
Yeah.
kind of really interesting details, sort of like where you'll find
Okay.
them and then whether or not they're like a hill breed or a flat breed. But then she'll
Oh, cool.
also include things like the micron count and staple length and fleece weight.
So then I'll definitely
So
look into that.
yeah, I
Thank
would
you.
definitely recommend her. If you're also interested in sort of yarn and yarn properties, but not at that kind of sheep breed level, but at a more like, oh,
Yeah.
these are plant fibers, these are animal fibers, Clara Parks, there's an excellent book called The Book of Yarn, and the first half of that book is basically explaining all the different
Oh,
fibers
wow. Okay.
and
That's
how they
probably the kind of
affect
thing
the
that I'm
final
looking for.
properties of the yarn.
Thank you for that, Sophie.
I've been using that book to kind of inform my finished products. I wanted to make myself next year a jumper that's
You need
cashmere
to
or
be
some
fancy.
cashmere
It's
in
got to
it,
be
because
done.
I just
Well,
feel
this is it.
like I'm a grown up. And well,
Oh,
also it's
wow.
kind of
Okay.
more, I suffer eczema from time to time.
Itchy against the skin.
When I'm having a flare up, mohair's very quite irritating,
A big ball of fluff,
which
man.
saddens me because one of my
Oh.
favorite jumpers I've ever made is a mohair jumper. It's so nice. It's so lovely and soft for the most part. But then if I'm having an eczema flare up, it's like, ah. So that's why I started
That's
thinking like
not a bad
maybe I should
experience to
experiment
have to
with
go through that too.
cashmere. Yeah.
Yeah.
The wool's quite expensive. Yeah. I'm literally
Bit by
doing this
bit.
thing where I Yeah. I don't buy it all in one go. I'm like buying like
and
once.
You will treasure that even yeah, more.
Once gained a month.
That's a definite slow burn project. Definite. That's going to look so good when it's done as well.
Thank you. I've gone to La Bière Amie as well.
Yeah.
And no, I decided yeah. like, well, if I'm going to do it, I may as well. I'm still okay, following the sort of Mauritian skyline sort of theme as well. A couple of years ago, I went to Mauritius. Oh, nice. It'll be a couple of years in January. And it was kind of like a return to the motherland.
Oh, but you yeah. wish you were right there and, now.
Oh, it was wonderful, Rachel. Oh, I do. Oh, can you imagine as well yeah, in January when it's man. All grey and then it's
absolute
like
perfection.
A
absolute
week in Mauritius.
Oh,
yeah. Dear, just seeing food. Family.
The good food.
Eating so much fish curry. Yeah, it was wonderful. While we were there, there was just a lot of kind of sort of almost flashbacks, but sort of memories of my childhood yeah. and like being there before and like the skyline and how it's changed and all the and the colors, because it's really it's really funny mm-hmm. because I love a neon. I absolutely love a neon.
Yeah,
and it's funny because here in like in this country a neon seems really out there.
Okay.
But not in clothing, it's just like in nature a neon really? Makes sense in Mauritius because like the colors are so vivid. Definitely everything felt so much brighter in Mauritius than in the UK. So the weather isn't like here where you know yeah. how there's a bit of cloud cover quite a lot of the time and you get bright days, but it's not as it's not like in Mauritius where you'll have more bright days than dull days. And because it's like a really okay. tiny island, the water's always reflecting off the sun everywhere.
Oh man.
So everything is just so vivid.
Super, super green.
Yeah, like the greens are, when something's green, it's man, like super so green. Much. Oh yeah, that's it's amazing. And the skies are so beautiful. I remember seeing, funnily enough, one of the colours I really like. You know those sort of pale lilac-y, oh. but quite they're sort of weird they're yeah. pastel lilacs and pastel purples, but they at the same time feel quite intense when the sun's going down, that's the color, the sky goes that color, and then the sun's quite peachy and neon-y as well, and then but wow. even the way it sort of glints off things, it feels it's such an intense color
yeah.
that's what I'm trying to incorporate in my knitting. Oh, kind of wow. using neons, but to that's sort of represent natural phenomena.
I think you should write a book of it, just saying.
Do you think? Yes, do you think? Definitely. Like where my patterns definitely. Come from? Oh, thanks, Rachel. That's an idea, actually. Well, that's the socks I've got on the go at the moment. They're kind of a similar representation. Yeah, so there'll be three shades of blue and a neon pink, and but that's kind of more focused on what the sea felt like and kind of a sky felt like at a certain time, and
it
just sort of going into
perfectly
that.
When the time
it's all a
right,
mash, really, of memory.
I love colours. Like, I will always, I sound like a right fashionista, but I'm really not, but like I will always wear a lot of black. But I do love colours. A burst of colour is never a bad thing in my eyes. My favourite colour is yellow. And as much as I try to stay away, I don't wear a lot of yellow, even though it's my favourite colour. It's strange.
Oh, but yellow would suit you so well.
It's one of those colours that I don't. I think I've probably got like one or two yellow dresses. And that's about it.
Because your skin tone is the bright kind of beautiful jeweled skin tone that will really carry off yellow.
Like, colors, I love colors. Green, I say I'm not a fan of green, but I love Kelly green as a color. I think it's just absolutely gorgeous. Khaki green, olive green, blues, orange. I just love color. I just absolutely love colors. When it comes to dyeing, I just throw it all at it. They're just the whole mood. I don't repeat colorways. So wherever I may have an idea in my head of what would look good together and what would go together. And then when I try and execute it, it might not go the right way. It all kind of works. Like there's been many a time where I've got like a big mound of something that's green and sludgy looking. Like I've literally got a couple of mistake skeins that just did not work the way they were supposed to work in my head. But in terms of a process, I don't really have a process of I literally just make up colors. I make it up as I go along. So oh, that sounds nice, let's put that together. Oh, what would that look like on that? Okay, let's add a little bit more of this, let's see what that's literally my process. It's very haphazard, There is no rhyme or reason to it.
Sounds lovely though, lovely and creative. Like, I've got one of yours that I'm giving to my mother-in-law, and it's going to be a wrench to give it away.
I want it for myself.
Like, it's been sat up on the shelf, and I'm like, ooh, oh, it's really nice. So, yeah, with a little pom-pom as well. I love that pom-pom. Like,
what can I do with these?
Oh, I think someone's just popped in. Do you know them?
No, I don't think I've met this Hello. Person before. But it's always nice to meet a new maker.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. You're right. Do you need any help? Oh, you're just browsing. All right, then I'll leave you to it. Just pop by if you need anything.
Yeah, he's popped away for a second.
Oh, Troy's gone very quiet. Has he popped away? Oh, I see Troy has yes. found the children's knitting pattern section. We'll just leave him there quietly.
When I came in earlier, there was a bit of Chopin
oh,
playing.
Oh, is it piano like, music nice. We've got going? Yes. This is a good playlist, this. It kind of has some of the like okay. properly old classical music, but then there's a couple of modern ones in there as well.
Oh, sweet.
So we'll have Einaudi coming up in a few
something completely
songs
different.
Time.
Especially when you're making sometimes. And music, you can't really listen to anything that's going to get you too hyped, having to fix those drop stitches, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, gotten into jazz in a big way when knitting, yeah.
Okay.
Jazz you find is that you kind beautiful, of like beautiful thing to listen
to
while knitting.
To the beat.
With jazz, no.
Okay, that's the worry. Like, depending on what I listen to, like, I'll be listening to like some like hip hop or something, and then my stitches just start going differently, or you know, I'll start listening to some 80s rock or something, and then my stitches just get a bit happy, and I'll be like, oh, you know what?
Mm-mm. See, I never worry about that. I just like, I just knit as it comes. Well, just because stuff takes me so long to make, it's kind of how I knit in. March is going to be very different to how I knit in December. I will steam block it at the end, at least. Ooh. It depends as well, like pretty easy going to be honest with it. If I'm giving something to someone, I'll block. Actually, that's a complete lie. I'll block everything. When I was younger, I used to be more lackadaisical about it.
I've been going to like make something, wear it for a good few weeks, and then block it. Because
I'm... That makes sense though, like first wash.
Yeah, that's it. Right then, I better go and get this boy some food.
Yes, is he getting a bit peckish? Lunch, I can kind of see him looking at you meaningfully from beyond the children's pattern books.
I will buy you lunch. We are going to an American diner to pig out on hot dogs and fries and milkshakes.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Thank you so much.
I'll grab your mugs for you.
Yes, I'll take a couple of those
and magazines. Oh, before you go, was there anything you wanted to buy?
The Shetland.
You wanted the stitch markers as well.
Scissors.
Okie dokie. Well, I've been picking stuff up. So we've got the stitch marks here. The yarn. I popped all that on the counter for you.
That's perfect.
Great. I'll just bring that up. Yep, have you found Troy?
Yes, he's patiently waiting. He heard food.
Okie dokie, here you go.
It's been a wonderful experience. I cannot wait to come back.
Yep, that's everything. And yeah, it's been lovely having you here.
Yes, thank you.
Please I'll let you know when we've got the knit nights on.
Thank you, you too. We'll definitely be back for sure. I'll definitely be back for sure.
And yeah, have a lovely rest of your day.
No worries, take care. See you again soon. All right, bye.
Thank you. My thanks to Rachel for popping in today, and thanks to you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please like, follow, rate, subscribe, and share. The Wild Yarn Shop was written, produced, and hosted by me, Sophie. And you can follow me on Instagram at knitknitwild. Sound effects from freesounds.org, with links in the below. The awesome theme tune was written and composed by John Fletcher. Thanks, John!